the trip certainly signifies an effort to bring the bilateral relations to a new era and to a whole new level.
China and Myanmar grow closer. It's Monday, January 20th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, keeping watch for a Chinese virus. The Trump impeachment trial gets underway. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Chinese President Xi Jinping reinforced his support for embattled Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi Saturday, signing 33 bilateral agreements covering a range of projects, including rail and port ventures to allow China access to the Indian Ocean and to shorten the route for its oil and gas imports from the Persian Gulf. The agreements were signed in the Myanmar capital of Naypyidaw at the end of Xi's two-day visit, the first to the country by a Chinese head of state in nearly two decades. Xi's visit came as the Myanmar government faces intense global criticism for a 2017 military campaign that targeted minority Rohingya Muslims, resulting in the deaths of thousands and the exile of nearly 750,000 others. United Nations investigators have described the military campaign as genocide, a charge Myanmar is facing at the International Court of Justice. Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, tells VOA Asia's Ira Melman via Skype the relationship between the two nations has grown significantly.
Well, Xi's visit, with all the strategic importance and symbolism, I think it signifies that Sino-Myanmar relations has entered a new era. And based on the documents that have come out of this visit, the two sides have decided to pursue what they call the China-Myanmar Community of Common Destiny. And for Xi Jinping administration, this is almost the highest level of bilateral relations in their foreign policy playbook. So I would say that the trip certainly signifies an effort to bring the bilateral relations to a new era and to a whole new level.
So, therefore, what does this do, if anything, to the relationship between Myanmar and the United States?
I, in fact, believe that this visit, given the seniority, the high level, and all the public relations work associated to it, I think it's a Chinese statement to the world and to the United States that China has returned to Myanmar as its most consequential foreign partner. So what we know is that in 2011, Myanmar pursued a political reform, a political democratization process. And as a result of that, the Sino-Myanmar relationship suffered quite serious setbacks. And the Chinese perception has been that the U.S. is a black hand behind that sabotage. And the U.S. was able to improve relations with Myanmar at the cost of China's national interest and China's relations with Myanmar. But 9 years later, we see that China is returning to Myanmar, claiming that we are the most important foreign partner, and Western countries, including the United States, are not trustworthy.
The discussion with Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, continues in a moment. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China and Myanmar sign dozens of infrastructure deals. Heavy snow hampers search for missing South Korean-Nepal trekkers. A report says North Korean foreign minister has been replaced. You can read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus visit our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. VOA Asia's Ira Melman explores the Rohingya issue with Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, as they continue to look at the visit to Myanmar of Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Myanmar and Bangladesh have reached an initial bilateral agreement that these refugees are supposed to repatriate. And the Myanmar government is going to accept them back to Myanmar. The problem currently is that without a security guarantee, without reassurances of their safety, livelihood, and a dignified return. The Rohingya refugees in the Cox's Bazar, in the refugee camps in Bangladesh, they are not willing to return to Myanmar. And Myanmar is unwilling to provide the conditions that will suffice the need of the Rohingya refugees. So where China stands is that China has claimed a mediation role between Myanmar and Bangladesh. And China has proposed this three-step solution, starting with ceasefire, followed by repatriation, and wrapped up with development. So the actual implementation of that process is much more complicated than the Chinese statement has been, basically just a three-step. So, and from this visit, Xi Jinping has promised, has committed additional further Chinese support of the repatriation process, and also committed to continue the support of Myanmar on the Rohingya issue internationally. You might remember that Aung San Suu Kyi, well, basically, the country, the Gambia, started a, international court of justice trial, well, accusation against Myanmar, leading to Aung San Suu Kyi having to go to Hague last December to defend Myanmar's position. Well, guess what? The day before she left for Hague, the Chinese foreign minister visited Myanmar to provide the support. So I think on the Rohingya issue, China has stood out as the most important patron and protector and shielder of Myanmar's position internationally. And I think that's what has cemented this bilateral relationship to the level it is now.
Is this a win for China?
I think it is a win for China on the surface, that China is able to claim that we have regained our influence in Myanmar, we have repaired our image in the country, and we have regained our status as the most consequential foreign partner of the country. But if you look at Myanmar's foreign policy principles, it's very much centered. The country never wants to abandon its neutralism and its balancing diplomacy. And almost as a general rule, the best relations that China has ever had with Myanmar always emerges when Myanmar has domestic problems, which made them internationally isolated.
Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. It's a brand new week. We're glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. U.S. health officials are at airports in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York, screening passengers traveling from Wuhan, a central city in China, where a viral pneumonia has spread. Michelle Quinn spoke with passengers arriving in San Francisco.
Families wait in the San Francisco airport arrival lobby as passengers on a flight from Wuhan, China, go through a health screening to see if they have flu-like symptoms that may be linked to a virus that has alarmed health officials worldwide. Johnny Tang, a tech worker in Silicon Valley, was waiting for his parents to visit.
Because they know there was a planned visit to here, then I think for the past week, they just stay in home to avoid any contact of any potential risk.
The virus is believed to have started in Wuhan, a city in central China. It belongs to the same family of coronaviruses that include severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. SARS killed nearly 800 people globally during an outbreak 17 years ago. It also started in China. Adding to health officials' concerns is that many of the 1.4 billion people of China are expected to travel abroad during the Lunar New Year holiday that starts this week. There have been 45 cases in Wuhan, as well as one person with the virus in Japan and two in Thailand. At New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport, one man in transit with his wife and children said the health screening was a simple process.
15 minutes, very simple, and they made it very easy to get through.
Screening is also happening in other cities around the world. People who went through this screening in San Francisco said it was an easy procedure.
It will lead you to another room. So there are doctors there. There are different equipments there. They can measure your temperatures there. And they have all the things like the face mask, like the form you need to fill in to let people know how to contact you. I think they are prepared well.
Passengers were asked a few questions on a form.
If you felt sick and all of that, my personal information, where I live and stuff like that.
It's always better to have a better control, but there is no control from our start point.
After 3 hours of waiting, Johnny Tang finally got to hug his mother. She said the screening is important.
So the government is responsible for the passenger, and also on the passenger side is responsible for the country and the people that visit.
Citing passenger privacy, a spokesperson with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention declined to say if any passengers from Wuhan were flagged at the three U.S. airports for possibly having the virus. Airport officials here have been told to expect the health screenings to continue for 2 weeks. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
Coming up, the impeachment trial of President Trump. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news alert from VOA Asia. Local officials say heavy snow and poor visibility hampered the search Sunday for four South Koreans and three Nepalis caught in an avalanche in the popular Annapurna region of the Himalayas. Relatives of the missing Koreans have arrived in Kathmandu alongside several emergency rescue officials. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for this and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the impeachment trial of U.S. President Donald Trump began Thursday with a series of ceremonial procedures that set the stage for opening arguments early this week. For just the third time in U.S. history, senators will sit in judgment of an American president and hear evidence that will lead them to decide whether he should be removed from office. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, the trial is getting underway as Democrats argue new evidence proves the president's guilt in trying to leverage U.S. aid to Ukraine for his own political benefit.
Do you solemnly swear?
U.S. senators swearing together.
Trial of the impeachment of Donald John Trump.
And then, one by one, signing a book saying they swear to administer that impartial justice to President Trump.
I announce the presence of the managers on the part of the
Those
House
senators will hear from House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff and six other impeachment managers traveling from the House to the Senate to make the case Trump should be removed from office.
In the history of the Republic, no president has ever ordered the complete defiance of an impeachment inquiry. This abuse of office served to cover up the president's own repeated misconduct.
The impeachment process in the Democratic-majority U.S. House was a contentious partisan battle. Republican leader Mitch McConnell said the Senate would be different.
This chamber exists precisely, Madam President, so that we can look past the daily dramas and understand how our actions will reverberate for generations.
But Democrats contend that process cannot be fair if senators are not allowed to hear from witnesses and see documents they say prove the president held up aid to Ukraine in return for investigations that would benefit his reelection campaign. Trump's Senate ally says there was no impeachable offense.
The Department of Defense told me early on they were worried about the new administration of the Ukraine. When you look at the flow chart, the amount of money going to the Ukraine was virtually the same as it had been before.
But Lev Parnas, an associate of Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, could be a possible trial witness after saying Trump knew exactly what was going on with aid to Ukraine. Trump denies this.
I never had a conversation that I remember with him.
Democrats believe these revelations will increase pressure on McConnell to allow witnesses.
Public opinion has grown enormously for seeing witnesses, eyewitnesses, and documentation.
The trial set to get fully underway Tuesday when senators return from the holiday weekend. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on the radio throughout Asia on great radio stations like Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines. Thanks to everyone there who's tuned into our program today. If for some reason you've missed part of our program, it's very easy to find. Just go to iTunes, SoundCloud, or our website, voanews.com. And be sure to see us on YouTube and Instagram. We're also on VOA Asia Twitter. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead.